This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
Today I'll be sharing with us on how to correct strange behavioral patterns. Tonight I'll go into strange spiritual patterns. So by 10 p.m., if you're interested in learning about correcting strange spiritual patterns, be in class. But for now, I'm talking behavioral patterns. How to correct strange behavioral patterns. Many a time, the human mind is programmed by its environment. When you want to look at the human mind, you have to look at it as like a CD. Those of us who understand what a CD is, those days where we used to use it to play music, it has a surface where you can write and a surface where you cannot write. On that surface where you can write, you will notice that if you record a song on it and then the surface scratches, when you are playing it, at every point it gets to the point where there is a scratch, it will skip. At every point, it will not self-correct. As long as there is a scratch on it, it will skip. If it has 10 scratches, it will skip in 10 places. Showing you that if there is a repeated pattern, as long as it is still the same CD spinning around on that sensor, every point where there is a blemish or a scratch, it will skip. That is how the human mind works. If one is young and you have like abusive parents, and you watch them as they begin to write reality upon the CD of your heart, you will come to learn the emotion that goes with their words. Maybe daddy is screaming at mommy, mommy is screaming at daddy, they are threatening each other, daddy picks a knife, mommy picks a machete, daddy picks a stool, mommy picks a stick, and you are there as a child. You are just observing, watching. You would be recording this thing. Your mind will be recording this thing, evaluating the reaction, how to behave, what to say, how to act. This thing you're doing is natural for you to become a human being. All children must first learn by observation. Every child you give birth to must learn from when they are born. In fact, for some, from the womb. That's why they tell mothers to read to their babies. They will say, read your Bible to your baby in the womb. Make sure when you're reading your Bible, you read it aloud. Make sure you talk to your baby. You say, maybe you've given the baby a name. Say, oh, Harmony, it's time for us to read our Bible. Today we are reading the story of Joseph. And then you read it, and you notice that after some time, the baby begins to acclimatize, begins to respond. At that time when you begin to read scripture, this is science, 100% science, not spiritual yet. I'm coming from a scientific and sociological aspect so that you can understand this thing the right way. Africans have a way of spiritualizing everything, and that is wrong. Not everything is spiritual. So therefore, your mind begins to record the things that you see. And as your mind records the things that you see, it is learning behavioral patterns. It is learning that, okay, if somebody says this to you, this is what you should say back. If somebody says that to you, this is what you should say back. Plus the emotion of it, which cannot be put into words. If there is fear, that baby recognizes the fear. If there is anger, that baby learns from watching what anger looks like. If there is rage that leads to breaking things, that baby learns what rage looks like. If, however, it is a happy home, and daddy will come, play music, they begin to dance, then they'll go pick mommy. Mommy will stand with the baby, they will hold each other, they will be dancing, they will be rejoicing, and the baby is in the court. Baby will be watching them. In this place, the baby sees joy, the baby sees dancing, the baby sees happiness, the baby sees the communication. The baby also records this. Sometimes the same people that were fighting yesterday are the people that are dancing today. The baby recorded yesterday's event, then the baby records today's event, and all that goes into the baby's heart as the mind of the baby begins to record response, fear, flight, joy, happiness, gladness. Then you notice that over time, the baby begins to select which mood or which response is appropriate for an occasion. So suddenly, you tell the baby, today is your baby, and the baby will laugh, and the baby will jump, birthday, birthday. The baby has learned that, oh, birthday is a happy occasion. So the baby will pull from all the pictures or all the muscle memories that it has learned. On a happy day, we laugh. Then maybe the baby poo-poo somewhere, the mother does not like it, and the mother said, I told you to stop that. You see, the baby's face will change. Baby will respond, bringing from his or her own memory the response to anger or to flight or to being corrected or to stern words. This is how all human beings are programmed. We are not programmed from heaven. We came into this world, tabula rasa. We came with a blank mind into this world, every one of us. In fact, in the whole of scripture, the Bible mentioned three human beings, in quotes, that came pre-programmed. Jeremiah was pre-programmed, John the Baptist was pre-programmed, and Jesus was pre-programmed. Every other that came before and after them was selected. They were humans before God decided to choose them and change them into what they became. Somebody like Saul, the Spirit of God came upon him and changed him. He was not predestined from heaven to be king. It was a choice that God made while he was already existing. Somebody like David, the Bible said it clearly in the book of chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. God said, I have searched to and fro the whole land, seeking for a man whose heart is like mine. So you can see that he wasn't born to be king. He was born to be a shepherd. But God then searched among men and chose David. So men came here, tabula rasa, all of us, tabula rasa. It is important that you note the distinction between somebody that is not in Christ and somebody that is in Christ. I'm still going to get there. But before, when you are being programmed in your human state, you are not yet born again. Even though you will be children of a pastor, of a prophet, you are holy. The seed of holiness is in you, but you have not given your life to Christ personally so that you can begin to use the standard of Christ to evaluate your life. So there is no question as to your holiness. Apostle Paul, writing in the book of Corinthians, said that even if a man or a woman marries an unbeliever, that the child they have is holy because of the consecration of the partner that is in Christ. So holiness is a legal right of that child, but it is not a vital component of his or her behavior. That is why you can see two pastors who got married and then they have a child, and the child's behavior is somehow. It's not in tandem. And the reason for that is simple. The child will learn from his environment, his or our environment. That is the truth. The child does not come from heaven clutching a Bible or knowing how to behave properly or knowing how to conduct himself. A child comes into this world with a mind that is like a foam, a mind that absorbs, that is soaking in everything in his environment. So a baby is constantly learning. From the moment the baby comes into this world, the baby begins to learn. The brain is programmed. If you see a baby who does not learn as soon as he's born, the baby's brain, you will say the baby begins to have some certain kinds of malfunction, retardation, and all that. But naturally, as soon as the baby comes into this world and opens his or her eyes, the baby begins to program every word, every action, every music, every act. So nobody should say that the baby does not know what is happening. The baby knows. In fact, there are some children that I personally named some years ago. So I can speak. I named some babies as far back as 2009, 2008. My first baby that I named was in 2007. And when they gave me that baby to name, I remember I put the baby up and I spoke into the baby's ears. I told the baby right there what the Lord told me. I said, the Lord told me that you are going to go into medicine. So I speak to you now by the power of the Holy Spirit, that your brain begin to absorb everything relating to medicine. As I speak to you today, the baby is studying nursing in the U.S., baby born 2007. So I understand that we should not assume that our children are too young to understand what is going on. They are learning everything. As a result of the things they learn, they then begin to form behavior. If they grew up in a house full of love, there's a tendency for them to be overtly open-minded, happy, relate with people freely, and be very trusting. If they grew up in a house that is hostile, there's a tendency for them to be withdrawn, to be suspicious, and to be cagey in their behavior. Some children are very introverted. Some by nature are extroverted. This has nothing to do with what they've learned. That is part of their core nature. That is not learned. Somebody being introverted is not learned. It is a core nature. Somebody being extroverted is not learned. It's a core nature. So somebody can be introverted and have a lot of information in their head, but they just do not have the nature of... And somebody can be extroverted and have nothing upstairs. Depending on where they grow up, they just be talking and they'll be saying things that are... They'll just be empty, running their mouth, and you'll be wondering, okay, where did you put your brain? Who borrowed it? So somebody that somebody speaks so much does not mean the person is wise. That somebody keeps quiet all the time does not mean the person is foolish. That's just nature. As we then grow older, we find ourselves repeating certain behaviors. Oh, before I go there, let me be sure that everybody can hear me. You understand the class so far, my introduction. Can I see your hand? You get it? Okay. Thank you for saying hands. So then we move to the second part of this. We now know that babies learn. The second thing is conscious behavior. Why do we behave the way we do? Why are our behaviors particular? So once we've gotten all the information we have, we then begin to respond to our environment according to the information we have within. So if there's violence in the house, we begin to think safety. We identify violence with the person that it comes with. Maybe the baby is thinking, when the baby is 2, 3, 4 years old, the baby will think Whenever daddy goes drinking and daddy comes home drunk, daddy beats mommy. So the baby begins to think, when daddy is not drunk, daddy is happy, daddy speaks normally. So the baby begins to assess it. So whenever daddy then is coming home drunk, the baby learns instinctively to go dodge or to go hide, knowing that violence is going to follow that drunkenness. The same thing with maybe the mother. Baby knows that when mommy is angry, mommy can throw anything at you. Baby has observed it, that when mommy is angry, mommy can throw anything. So as soon as baby sees a change in mommy's tone of voice, baby learns to dodge because something is going to fly soon, and the baby learns that. We then project these things that we learn from home on those who are around us. This natural mapping. We map out behavioral patterns that we see with people around us whenever we are in a public space. So maybe you are in the classroom and one of your lecturers gets angry and lecturer begins to raise his pitch of voice. Naturally, if you are somebody that you come from a home where somebody speaks like that and he will throw something, you are expecting the lecturer to throw something. So you'll be at alert, ready to dodge. I remember when I was in school, I had a lecturer that whenever he's teaching with the chalk writing on the board, if he had a particular student in mind, maybe the student has done something, when the chalk is about to finish, he would turn around and throw the chalk at the student. First class, second class, third class. By the time everybody knew he does that, whenever he is writing, everybody's prepared. It's instinct. Not that we are helping him to measure his chalk. But when we notice that the chalk is getting to the place where the chalk will finish, everybody is tensed. Once it turns back, everybody will dodge. He realizes that, oh, these people have, they've been able to capture my behavioral pattern. So it had to then stop it. Because consciously realize that, wow, I was doing these things subconsciously, but the students have all caught up to it, that whenever I'm writing and my chalk is about to finish, if I have somebody and I just turn around and throw the chalk. So therefore, all the students will then be ready. So eventually, I will say, you are the one that the chalk hit. People will begin to laugh. End of day, what did you do for this man? So he stopped it because it became a weakness. Became a weakness. This is how we respond to behavioral pattern. What we learn at home, we map it on others. And then we begin to own that character as if it's our own. How we respond to all people. If you grow up in a house where they don't have much, the tendency for you to be covetous because you have a consciousness of lack or to begin to steal is high. If you grow up in a home where there is nothing, where there is a lot of poverty, it is natural for you at a certain age to begin to go out of your house to seek for support. You will not know that's what you are doing. But when you are 14, 15, it doesn't matter if you are a boy or you are a girl. Imagine, I remember some years back, whenever it rains, all the children in the environment will go out searching for snails. Whenever it rains, they were going to all computer buildings, they were searching for snails. Our parents kept us inside the house. We were getting inside children. So I used to watch all of them from afar. So these are normal children, age 6, 7. They will go out. Some of them will be old, 13, 14. They will go foraging for snails, foraging for vegetables, what they will cook when I was growing up in the Ibadan. I noticed that because all of them would go out at the same time, they began to have interactions, they would talk with each other, they began to play together. Before you know it, many of them were exposed to sex. Simply by interaction, it is not calculated or it was not planned. It was simply because of the mixing. As soon as they began to mix, children that they were living in one bedroom with their parents, who usually will see their parents copulating, already they've mapped it. Then they want to do it with somebody. Your own children did not see that, but when they see your children and they see that your children are very pliable and very gentle and very open and trusting, They would then say, let us play that dear mommy. If I ask this question now, some of you will take out your mouth. When you are young, you play that dear mommy. Can I see your hand? If you wish, like Jesus is looking at you. Jesus is looking at you. Did you play that dear mommy? Well, I know that there are many of us that played it. If you don't, if you say you don't play, it's because it's a public class. If I catch you, it is a normal thing because children watch their parents doing it, and so children also do it. However, not all children get exposed to sex through it. However, some children get exposed to sex through it, or it may not be actual sex, but it will be the first initial point of contact for sex. Now, here's where I'm going, because I just wanted the introduction to be very clear so that you can see that some things can be corrected. And you don't have to pray and say, Father, Father, change me, change me. No, no, no. Hey, it is a pattern that you developed naturally by learning. It is a learned behavior, and therefore you can change it. You can. If you notice that you lie a lot, that you became a pathological liar, you didn't know how. It was because lying is caused by two things. Fear. When children have very, when they are very insecure, they want to be somebody else, but they are not that person. They can say, oh, my father has this, my father has that, my father is cheated on your daddy, my daddy has a donkey, my daddy has a horse. A lot of children did that. Normally, they do that harmlessly, and over time, they settle into who they are. But some don't settle into who they are. They continue to project that their father has what their father does not have. So they begin to continue to lie because they think that it is in the abundance of stuff that they will become respectable. So they know they are not working, they cannot say they have. So then they say their father has it, because if they say their father has it, it will mean that their father can provide more than he is doing for them, and maybe people will respect their father. So a lot of children will then lie like that. It is a lie. And some over time will drop it. Some, however, would evolve. They will move from my father has to I have, or to my boyfriend has. And so in order to then prove that what they're saying is true, they can begin to steal. It's a behavioral pattern. This is one of the reasons why when we preach salvation, and we say to everybody that once you believe in Jesus, you are saved, it has nothing to do with behavior. Nobody can ever control their behavior right from when they were born. So when people think that it is behavior that makes people go to heaven, it is silly. It is foolishness. You are not in control of where you are born. You are not the one that gave yourself to abusive parents. You are not the one that gave yourself to single parenthood. You are not the one that gave yourself to baby mama parenthood. You are not the one that gave yourself to a poor family or a rich family. You had no say in these things. And all these things shape who you become. Every house does not have the same moral code. I met another man once who told me to my face that you don't ask a 15-year-old boy where he got money from. He said it to me. His son stole my money. The man is a relative of ours. He's late now. But his son stole my money. And I used to call the guy brother. In Yoruba culture, we respect people a lot. So when somebody stole that, you call him brother. So the guy stole my money. So I stopped calling him brother because he stole my money. I began to call him by his name. So one day the father called me and the father said, this boy is older than you and you are calling by name. Because I know that if we stand together to fight, he cannot beat me. I may not beat him because we are almost the same height, but he cannot beat me. So I have, the respect I had for him was there, but from the moment he stole the money, the respect was gone. So I wasn't going to respect him anymore. Nobody under this ever can make me respect anymore. That's the truth, because that's how I was. So when they saw that I was calling him by name, the father didn't like it because the guy, like 2 or 3 years older than me, and normally in the family, we respect those who are older. So the father was worried. So the father called me, said, Why are you rude to my son? And I didn't answer the man. I didn't say anything. I said, let him come and explain. I do not deny that he's older than me, but I'm never going to call him in a respectful tone. He has lost everything that respect can give in my eyes. So the father said, the father then called him. He wouldn't talk because he didn't want to own up to what he did. Then the father called his younger sister. The younger sister said to the father that I had 200 naira and then I couldn't find it. And then they found it in his pocket. And that she wanted to ask him, where did he get the money from? And he slapped her. And the father said, yes. Nobody asked a 15-year-old where he got money from. How dare you ask somebody that is 15? Is he a child? Can't he have money? Can't he? How dare you question a 15-year-old where he got money from? So the boy stole money, but nobody should question him. And it was my own money he stole. So it was from his father. He saw that pattern. He realized that he could get away with it. But I'm also the owner of my own respect. If it is 200 naira that will make you lose respect with me, that's fine by me. You can keep the money. You will never have any respect for me anymore. Till today, when I see him anywhere, I call him by his name. Everyone can want to fall. My 200 naira has bought respect. That's fine. I don't have any problem with it. Keep the money. I would take the respect. Fine, thank you. That my own behavioral pattern was also as a result of my own environment where I grew up from. I wasn't going to be docile. I grew up among ladies. Like, I'm surrounded by girls. I have a brother, and all around me are girls. So as I was growing up, I had to stand for myself before they would turn me to girl. You see, I'm a boy. And all of them are older than me. So they were going to talk, it's the truth. So as I was growing up, I realized that if I don't begin to assert myself, people would begin to wear pinafore for me, right? So I noticed, sometimes you just see all of us, come and do makeup, come and do. They are just being girls. But I'll be like, I'm not a girl, why are you doing this to me? But later I realized that until you say no to some things, people just continue to think it's fun. So I will say no outrightly. My younger brother was more congenial, I will play with them, the world, I stopped. Because again, if you don't start off for yourself, it's also a continuum of environment. I understand. So like I was saying, all of us are product of our environment that way. So I cannot say my environment is better than your own. You cannot say your environment is better than my own because apart from what you learn from home, you are still going to mix it with other people's environment in school. You are still going to mix it in boarding school. You are still going to mix it with other people in churches. So you are going to, this is a society we are building. So again, I insist that therefore, behavior cannot get anybody into heaven because behavior is a product of environment, a product of learned behavior. Therefore, nobody can say, it's by my own good behavior, I'm going to heaven. That is not a standard. That is why Jesus came, that he might die, so that once he died for us, we can have what we call being born again. That means you come out of your old behavioral pattern of the flesh, and then you come to learn the behavioral pattern of the spirit. Now, I've already concluded my second part of the class. If you understand the class so far, can I see your hand? Have I brought you to the place where you have come to know that Christ is our new beginning? Are you following my thought to that point? Okay, thank you. So Christ becomes our equalizer. So whether you grew up in an abusive home, or you are exposed to sex at the age of six, or you grew up in a place where there is so much anger, or you grew up in a place where there is no food, or you grew up in a place where they lie a lot, or you grew up in a place where there is so much unfaithfulness, or you grew up around girls and or commercial sex workers, or you grew up around boys that are stealing, when you come to Christ, you come to that new beginning. The question then is, after people become born again, why do they continue in their old behavioral pattern? You will see somebody born again. I worked with the pastor once, and an elderly man now, it was much older than me as at that time. When I was working with him, I believe it was in his early 50s when I worked with him. And he had a behavioral pattern that when his younger brother came in from the US, and I went to pick the younger brother from the airport, And I was driving the younger brother. The younger brother said, how can my brother be a pastor? This is how he was since he was born. It's still like this till now. And he's saying it's a provincial something. What kind of pastor is? I'm not kidding. I was driving. I was the PA. But that day, my boss said, okay, a lot of relatives are coming from abroad. So you drive a car to pick this person. The driver will drive to pick. So I was driving. So I was listening to the conversation of how they were talking about him. And it seemed to me like his behavioral pattern from when he was a child was still the same behavioral pattern even after I had become a senior pastor. And that's puzzling to me. How do people not change? When did Christ encounter you? After he encountered you, why didn't you learn? Why didn't you evolve? It doesn't happen automatically. The same way when you give birth to a child, that the child begins to learn from his environment. The same way when we become born again, we begin to learn from the Christ environment. So we have to shed our whole behavioral pattern and begin to learn a new behavioral pattern entirely. You see, that behavioral pattern does not make us dress, wear a certain kind of cloth, all this church behavior that some churches will just say, no, you are born again. You must wear this thing. You must wear this skirt. All those things are rubbish. But the reason they were doing it was because they couldn't teach what I'm teaching now. So what they wanted to do was to condition people by doctrine. What that does is create Pharisees. It creates hypocrites, people who cannot be true to their own emotions, who have to lie to themselves, you know? And that is the one thing that Jesus Christ fought against, because it is either you are still in your old behavioral pattern so that we know that you are not born again, or after you become born again, you begin to behave like Christ so that we know you are born again. But because of hypocrisy, people now learned what you call duality. What is duality? Combining two behavioral patterns. So a lot of people, when they now see fellow Christians, there's a way they behave. But when they are back at home, among unbelievers, there's a way they behave. So then the husband will have a particular behavior among the brethren in church. But at home, he would not have that behavior. You know, I'm still teaching. I can tell you 100%. Ask anybody who has been close to me how I am in my house. It's how I am outside. I say it with all my heart. People have been around me. My wife is listening to me. I do not believe that anybody should have two separate behavioral patterns. And that when you are at home, so sometimes when the wife then comes to church to support the husband, it will not be as if she's supporting another man entirely. All of us will not be like, what? 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 They say, yeah, he did this. He did that. No. And then the other will not say, she went outside to expose me. She went to expose me among the people that, because what you call a cover. Because his cover was broken. Why do Christians need a cover? Why do you need to have, you know what they call a cover in espionage when they are talking about spies? They will give somebody a bogus cover story. They will say, your name is so and so. You are born this year. You are from here. All that thing is a lie. And then they will put the person in a place to meet some people and then become a spy. That's why the cover story began. That's why people began to have cover story. When you send a spy somewhere and then you insinuate the spy into their community as if he's one of them so that they can accept him, trust him, and then expose their secrets to him. So a lot of Christians became spies. Who they are at home and who they are in church are two different characters. So many Christians have dual characters. They have dual nature. And they are not supposed to, because you are supposed to, the Bible says that you put off the toga of the old man. It didn't say combine, you know how they combine clothes nowadays? Where you combine, they call it ashofi now, they combine ashofi with t-shirt now. Combining the old and the new. You're not supposed to combine the two behaviors. Jesus Christ told us, he said, you shouldn't put new wine into old wine skin. He said it is going to lead to disaster. You are supposed to allow the new to happen so that the old can go away. But that is not what we see. And that is why it is almost impracticable to attain the spiritual consciousness that a Christian should have. Once a Christian has a dual nature, in church he will be praying. But in real life, it is a new... So again, it is not a spiritual problem. It is a nature problem. He is two people. And then he will say God is not answering his prayer. He will say he's frustrated because acting... God doesn't recognize actors. God wants us to be real. But it's acting. That's what we call hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, and that one for hypocrisy is acting. He's only playing a role. She's only playing a role. So a lot of churches, because of their doctrine, and because they do not explain to people what it means to become Christian and to change behavioral pattern, they end up raising hypocrites. What I can say here, I will say in front of any pastor, where you see me is where you see me. If you see me somewhere, just accept it is me. I'm not hiding anything from anybody. That's the truth. I encourage all those who will share a fellowship not to hide anything from anybody. If you go out, you see us enjoying ourselves, we are dancing and playing. If you like our company, join us. If you don't like our company, walk away. It's fine. We are fine by ourselves. And if you see us praying and you see the Spirit of God moving, join us. If you don't, it's as simple as that. That is Christianity. That is how it should be. Openness and transparency, all true. There is no dodging. There is no... That is what Christianity is. That is how you can access spiritual reality, because you are no longer... So you can now have the Holy Ghost. So a lot of Christians speak in tongues. They do all sorts, but they don't experience the Holy Spirit. They write to me. It's because of this duality. Where do you expect the Holy Spirit to stay? Because he is not going to be here and there. So you can form being Christian all you want. You can speak in tongues all you want. You can be doing all that all you want. You're just acting. Because who you are is not who you claim to be. Christ did not want a church like that. So how do I change? I pay attention to my previous patterns. Pay attention to your previous patterns. Don't do what they call escapism. Don't lie to yourself. In fact, in all things, to thyself be true. That is the one cardinal rule for everybody who is going to become somebody in life. Be truthful to yourself. The one thing I cannot stand in people is when they lie to themselves. At least you may not be able to tell me everything about you, because you may think I will judge you. You may think I mean, whatever you may think I may do with your story. Nobody likes to be exposed. But at least when you are in your own corner, in your own room, you should be able to sit down and say, ha, GSW, what you did there is not good. Why did you behave like that? Don't behave like that again. Don't act like that again. It's unbecoming. How would you act like that? You should be able to have such moments. If you agree with me, can I see your hand? That we should have such moments. Every one of us. We call it self-reflection. Yoruba, we call it osun kaka. When you sleep on your own, you sleep like a man. They say you will then think. You will look at your actions. You will edit your own behavior. You will say, behavioral pattern that I have is not good. That is identifying the problem. Nobody can identify it for you. I remember we went to one church. They said one girl is lazy. They wanted to do deliverance for laziness. So the mother came and the mother said, this child is lazy. If I give her 10 chores, she will not do. If I give her 20 chores, she will not do. She will just sit at home. She will just sit at me eating. I beat her. She does not. Then the pastor said, that is a slothful spirit. Slothful spirit. Let us pray for her. It is not a spiritual problem. But the pastor wanted to prove spirituality. Because Africans like to put spiritualize everything. Somebody will commit a crime, he will spiritualize it. He will say it's devil. He stole money and spent the money. The devil did not spend the money. But when they catch him, it's the devil. The devil that didn't steal anything. That didn't enjoy anything. Okay, now. Let the devil not be a scapegoat anymore. We must take responsibility for our action. How do I change? Be truthful to yourself. Sit yourself down. Then you ask yourself, why do I behave this way? Why am I quick to lose my temper? It is not normal. So when I was talking to one of my students one time, and she fights a lot. So then she called me and she said she fought somebody. I said, why? And then another time she called me, she said, I went physical, she fought somebody in a bus. I said, why? Why is it that violence is so easy for you? To every little thing, you are fighting. You are a Christian. And I know you are a Christian. But this is not consistent with Christian character. Fighting, like coming to blows. And you're a girl. Ha! So what is wrong? She said, but I mean, that's how I was. That's not how you are. So one day I sat her down. I said, tell me your story. Oh, and she told me a beautiful story of how she grew up, of her daddy's, her mommy, and how they had to fight for everything. And she didn't know it, but I could then see why. I could see why she was very prone to violence, why she felt that people are trying to cheat her. The mom is the opposite. The mom is very gentle. So the mommy accepts oppression easily. You see? So when the father brought in a second wife, the mother did not protest. She was a young lady. She saw it. She saw that it was her. Her mother was docile. Her mother was too accommodating of nonsense. So that then tilted her in the opposite direction, in which she trained herself not to accept any nonsense of anybody. She, you see, then she went overboard with it. And that is normal. She overcompensated in the opposite. Because her mother was docile, she then went on the aggressive side. Like I said, you can always trace the behavioral pattern from how a child grows. Now, this is a good Christian family. The father is a Christian, mother is a Christian. There, whatever relationship issues they had that made the father marry other wives, that's between them. But the children, as they began to map reality, they will begin to react in this way. You see a child that is raised in the ghetto, you will see the behavioral pattern, how he or she maps everything as if people are victims, because in his head he's supposed to smart, you know, street smart. You see a child raised in a very comfortable environment, he doesn't see life that way. In his own environment, there is no chaos. There is no sub. You close your eyes, they will see your phone. There's nothing like that. So he is likely to take his phone and drop it on the table and walk away. A ghetto person will not behave like that. He will take his phone and hold it. Somebody that got up in Oshodi, when you want to go somewhere, you will be holding your pocket every 2 minutes. When you go up in Oworo, you'll be, every 5 minutes, you'll be taking your pocket. Hey, is my phone still there? Is my phone still there? Somebody that grew up, I think we were in the street in London one time, and the road's there. Phones are prone to be snatched there. What did they write? That's it. They said, beware. Phones are prone to be snatched. To be snatched. I said, my God. So from that day time, I'm on that street. My phone. Because the police will tell you that we want you, that they snatch phone in this place. But those who didn't grow up in that kind of environment, they will not think like that. So environment works hard. A lot does a lot. But then, after the environment has conditioned you, it has finished its work. You are now the product of that environment, behaving to everybody according to how your environment shaped you. The next thing to do is to sit down and do self-assessment. Say, why am I aggressive towards men? Do I hate men? No. Okay, I don't hate men. Do I have issues with certain kind of men? Okay, why am I aggressive towards women? Is it because my mother abandoned us? Is it because of the way my mother acts? Is it because of the way my mother behaved towards my mom, and then I'm now projecting it on other women? You ask yourself these questions. This is something I've done for myself. I tell you the truth. And nobody taught me. I realized that I was a product of an environment. And if I'm going to be better, I have to sit down and identify the environment that produced me, and then cut out the excesses. The excesses. Cut out the excesses. Like I said, I'm surrounded by very strong women, from my grandmother to my older sister. I have very strong choleric women around me when I was growing up. In their world, if you cannot stand, they can't stand weakness. So if you even want to be gentle, and they will just turn into something else. So you cannot afford to be gentle. You can't. So then, even if it's not your nature, you have to learn how to be on your feet. But as I grew older, I said, no. This environment has produced me. I'm surrounded by very strong women. I know, but does not mean that every time you then meet a woman, you project that all of them are strong, bullish. No. Not everybody. You have to then recondition. You look at it and say, no. I'm going to adjust this. I'm going to adjust this. This is not every. This is when you see these signs, you will know. Identify each person according to the signs. You see, you begin to train yourself. You have to. It helps you. It will save you a lot of prayer mountains going without answer. Why do I sleep around? It's a very valid question that you should ask yourself as a young woman or a young man. When I see young men humping up and down, I say, what is it, girl? But that is the truth for me. What is it? I understand that. Okay, somebody wants to marry. Okay, I understand that. Okay, hear me. I didn't say somebody is married. I said, I understand. When you say, both of us are in a relationship, okay, that's fine. In my head, I can understand a little that perspective. But you don't want to marry somebody. You don't have any plan for the person. You just want to sleep with the person. It doesn't make any sense to me. But I realized that those who do it are a product of an environment. An environment shaped them. And then the environment, and they didn't bother to sit down and say, hey, I don't want to be a victim here. It is true that my environment shaped me, but hey, no. I can remold myself in Christ. I have a new identity in Christ, and I can reshape myself to fit into that. Doesn't mean you are going to be silly, stupid, docile. No, a lot of people think that Christians are just some whack bitch. People don't know Christians. People don't know me. I'm not that kind of Christian. I'm very happy with the kind of Christian I am. That's the truth. I like the kind of Christian I am. I'm fully a Christian. As absolutely a Christian. I'm more Christian than many people. But it is how you should be. You understand? It is important that you understand what shaped you and that you redefine it. You say, no, this is as a result of when I didn't have much. I was behaving this way. No, I'm not behaving this way. No. This is behavior of poor people. This is behavior of people that are well-to-do. I will begin to learn the behavior of people that are well-to-do, even though you will not have anything else. You begin to change your behavioral patterns. This will change everything. If you are always angry, ask yourself, why am I always angry? Why am I violent? You know, I saw a man, 60-something-year-old, he slapped his wife. I had to ask him. I said, you are a grandpa, you are still slapping somebody. I don't understand it. Like, I don't like seeing it in children. I remember one time we were swimming in one of the hotels with my children, and this person came with his children, and they came with little children. And that child was so violent. He was just trying, he was like 4-year-old or 5-year-old. But the father was saying, well done, I was like, why do people raise children like this? Why do you raise children like this? Like the child was all spoiling for a fight. And you are like, yes, go ahead. You are. No. That child is unfit for society. Because on the serious note, if not because I was there, my children will pound him. Like the child is much younger than them and they are old. But my children just stepped them and moved away. You know, I was there in the pool with them and I was watching. And I saw that if my children are the kind of children that would get angry easily, they would just fling the boy out of the pool. You know, because of the aggression, you don't need to raise children like that. Don't heal bad behavior. But they didn't know, the parents didn't know. And of course, at the end of the day, myself and the parents became friends. When I see things like that, I do not shy away. I will engage you. I engage the parents. I engage the boy. I began to teach the boy how to swim. Whenever I want to do aggression, I'll say, yes, no, 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 there's no need for that. I'm here. Just do your leg like this. I began to teach the boy how to swim. When we were leaving, the parents, the father brought money out, was offering my going to give my children money. Because of how I acted towards them, I was very gracious. But what am I saying? It is important that I could do that because I didn't allow my environment to condition me or to. So naturally, I would have reacted the way the boy was. I would have told them, what's wrong with your boy? Tell your boy to behave very well. No, I didn't do that because I didn't. The environment no longer controls me. When I'm in an environment, I control my environment. I control my space. If there is chaos there, immediately I get into an environment, the environment becomes my playground. I mean it. If I get into a boardroom, the boardroom becomes my playground. I do not become a victim of a boardroom. I am the victor. I come into the boardroom and everything in the boardroom must obey me. That's the truth. Finally, I'm meeting, that's the same thing. I control my environment. You must control your environment. That's where I'm going. But a man that has not mastered himself cannot master his environment. So many of us didn't master ourselves. And you're saying, I want to master my environment. Oh, I'm a territorial spirit. Shaka-ta-ta-ta. No, no, no. You are a chaotic. You are chaos emotion. A chaos emotion cannot claim to be a territorial spirit. What do you know? You will first sort yourself out. That was why Jesus had 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. The Bible said he first conquered himself there. Look at the temptation. He wasn't praying against enemy. He conquered himself. He conquered himself in bread. He conquered himself in lust. He conquered himself in servitude. The three temptations. Jesus conquered himself. He mastered himself first. Before he now stepped out into the world and he began to master the world. Look at your Bible. A lot of Christians didn't go through mastering themselves. And they want to conquer the world. And then they ask me, but I mean, how do you do it so easily? I'm like, come on. I didn't get here by mistake. I learned my way through, and I'm teaching what works. Master yourself. Why do I behave the way I do? Look at it. Okay, don't lie to yourself. Tell yourself the truth. I'm aggressive. I'm angry all the time. I hate this. I hate that. Okay, I cannot stand somebody to talk to me like this. Okay, I'm always snapping. Master that. Once you've mastered that, then tell yourself, okay, how do I adjust it? Then you adjust it, and you consciously put it. Don't just do a mental ascent, you consciously begin to change. As you begin to change, you will notice that the anger inside of you is gone, your propensity to sleep around is gone, your task for loss is gone, your lying ability, pathological lying is gone, all those things are gone, right? Once you notice they are gone, then when you notice you are now becoming a brand new person, this is the person that can now control this environment. When there are skills everywhere, you will never see me around. I'm telling you. Never ever. If they say fire thunder, I'll just everybody wonders how I do it. It's because I've controlled my environment. That is how you master your environment. This is how you then change your behavioral pattern. You then notice that from this point on, when you pray, when people cannot see through something, you can see it. What people cannot see, you will see it. Why? Because you are back in your zone. You are now a master of yourself. So you can see opportunities easily. You are not going to be moving. Somebody is saying fire, you are running. No, you will not do that. You are now a master. You will just notice that your nature evolved into mastery. And as a result of that, when you begin to pray, you begin to hear the secrets of God. All those who walk with God and they became great at it. One of the first things they conquered was themselves. They conquered self. What I've taught you here today is how to conquer self. You must edit, you must put out, you must bring in, you must do the editing properly, you must evolve into who you now see, not a product of environment, but a product of the environment of Christ, and then you can begin to engage your world with that mindset. As you do this, you begin to notice a change in all the old testimonies and patterns around you. Your friends will change, your neighbors will change, where you live will change, where you work will change. Everybody will begin to look at you with a new eyes. You begin to get better results. Why? Because you are now a person who has mastered his environment. It's time to give our offering. The class I've taken today is a good class. I believe that many of us have learned one or two things, and it is important that we give. But don't forget, when we give in this meeting, we are giving to the poor. This is not an offering for the ministry or for anybody. All of us, including myself, we are giving heavily. We are doing that to help those who need scholarship, those who need the widows, the poor. We do this every quarter. And we do this with, we are registered to do this. We have registered, you are not just collecting. We have registered and people that are managing all these things that are meant for. So, we give our offering. Before we go, I want to share something about somebody that I noticed a few years ago, in just a minute. So I have this person that is close to me who was struggling to make headway financially for some time. So whenever the person is in dire need, the person knows that if he calls me at any time of the day, I would do everything to rise up to the occasion, to supply, to help financially, to support. And this went on for some years. One day, this discussion I had with us here today, I sat with the person and we had it. He came to my house and we had a discussion. And I tried to tell him how things changed for me. Mastering myself, mastering my environment, changing the things that produced me and the environment that shaped me, changing it, and then becoming better, deliberately choosing who I want to become, how I want to become, how I want to be seen. And then in my place of prayer, deliberately engaging prayer with the right mindset. We talked for like 1 hour. From that day, I noticed that this person just changed. Not negatively. He put the things I thought into work, into action. He changed. Whenever there's a storm, he will stand. He stopped begging. He stopped borrowing. He stopped collecting money from anybody. So before, whenever there's any problem, he will reach out. Please support me. I need this and that. He stopped it. He found his own center. And after he found his own center, he began to master his environment. Earlier today, I was going out. And then I called the same person. I said, hey, I need something. And the person said, okay. And it was done. And in my heart, I was happy. I was glad. I was saying, thank you, Jesus. And this is not the first time I would just call him and say, okay, I need this, I need this, I need this. I will not even do twice. It will be done. Why? Because what I know that worked for me is also working for him. He has mastered his environment. He has mastered himself. And from mastering himself, he has now mastered his environment. Don't forget, there is a key to this. And that's what I've taught you today. I declare that the hand of the Lord is upon you. Your gifts are blessed. You will never lack. You will never be in want. If you are blessed, please submit and shout, glory!
Glory! Glory!
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.